Be the right club.
Be the right club today.
Yeah. Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most.
Expect anything different?
Buonasera, signore, signora. I don't know if I got that right. Solly here. We have finally made it to the Ryder Cup 2023. DJ Pie is here. Hello, Pie Man.
Hello, guys. Happy to be with you. Happy to be in Italy. Happy to be at this table. Happy to get this fucking thing going, man.
You're
let's
so
go.
Ramped
let's
up.
Go.
I've never had to hold DJ back like I have right before this show. KBV is here to bring some normalcy and some journalistic integrity to the show. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Solly. The last time you and I recorded a podcast in Europe, we sat knee to knee and you pulled up the voice memo app on your phone. It was a real intimate experience in our flat in England. So this is real glow up for us.
And nothing has really
France?
Changed.
In France. Excuse me, France. Yeah.
Okay. So. I was going to say, I don't think we did any of the Belfry losses, but that's right. That's for a future podcast of ours. The No Laying Up Live show is, of course, brought to you by our friends at High Noon. I do hate to report we do not have High Noon here in Italy.
We're close. We did as good as we could.
Our guy Cody, he's got it in the shot. When he's going to pop in, of course.
It's drizzly on that.
He's got it here. But you know you can enjoy High Noon tequila if you are a tequila lover. If you were never satisfied with malt-based hard seltzer offerings, you're going to love the brand new High Noon tequila seltzer. It's available nationwide now, made with real tequila, real juice. It's got a clean finish because it's made with that real Blanco tequila. Only 100 calories, gluten-free, no added sugar. High Noon Tequila Seltzer is available in 4 bright, crisp flavors. Strawberry, lime, grapefruit, and passion fruit. It is great for any occasion under the sun, and there's no better time than summer to try High Noon Tequila Seltzer. It's technically fall now, I think, but it's still, sure. It feels like summer when you got a High Noon in the sun. And there's a lot of sun here in Marco Simone and in Rome. Look for High Noon Tequila Seltzer on Drizzly or at your local convenience or liquor store, or visit highnoonspirits.com to find it near you. Deej, what are you so buzzing about, man? You could not wait to get this show started.
I don't know what it was. You know what? I've been very fortunate. I've worked in golf for a decade plus now. I've done a lot of things. I've been to I've been to a lot of tournaments. One thing on my list, European Ryder Cup. Have never done it. Today was the first day I've ever been on site at a European Ryder Cup. The only Ryder Cup I've ever been to was last year or 2 years ago at Whistling Straits. Which I obviously liked. I moved to Wisconsin, but be that as it may,
bad Ryder Cup
energy wasn't very high there. And I was walking around that whole week kind of being like, man, Solly really loves this thing, but I don't know if I really see it. Being out there today was very much an I see it moment. I was getting goosebumps hearing the cheers.
I apologize. Was like, I was not familiar with your game
truly,
situation.
Truly. The golf course, we're going to get to it, but looks like a completely different golf course than the one that we played in May. I think there's going to be a ton of birdies. I think there's going to be a ton of just X's, blow-ups in your pocket holes. And I don't know, man. Great teams, really good pairings. It's just it all is kind of aligned. Good weather, good crowds, good everything. I think this is – you know what it really is like.
So are you venture to say Europe is one up?
Wow. I think the game is one up right now. It's kind of where I'm at. But what I really was thinking about was like, man, it's been so like the last year plus, 2 years, 3 years, just been so cynical in the world of competitive golf, pro golf. And I don't know, this year, like it feels like every week you're kind of talking yourself into, you're kind of squinting at like, well, I guess this is kind of exciting, right? I mean, you know, Hovland, he's winning the playoffs. You know, that's kind of cool, right? You know, that's kind of cool. And then being out there today is just like, no, every square inch of this is fucking awesome. And I cannot wait to get it going.
My heart is so full.
I'm ready.
DJ. DJ. I don't know how the Euros fans would do your name cheer.
If we're in the nest, they really only have like 3 cheers. But that's
there'll be no slandering of the European cheering. That's the thing.
It's great. It's great. It's simple. But you know.
If I will say, there was a not once but twice Olé chants while Zach Johnson was giving him speech.
You just don't do that.
Giving his speech at the opening ceremonies.
Wow.
What do you think would have happened if there'd been a USA chance during Europe's captain's speech? I mean, that would have been worse than the Brookline tragedy.
Way worse.
There's going to be some people who have to have some mea culpas in the Euro media here for this, because this is unacceptable.
It was classless. It was thuggish jingoism. It was all of the above.
We're going to reference it 100 times, but you've talked about it on the podcast before, the Bernard Gallagher, his book where he was talking about, you know, so when George Bush was at, which one, War of the Shore?
The War by the Shore. I did a deep dive into that podcast, and Bernard Gallagher wrote a book about it. I don't really know why. It's like a book of grievances. It's
like an email, basically.
It was like not,
a please. please read.
It was not meant to be read by anybody outside of Europe, I don't think. It just bitches about the most petty stuff possible.
Do not distribute.
The hotel rooms weren't up to snuff, like every little thing possible that he could complain about. And one of the things he complained about, some of it was very justified, but some of the stuff was way too granular. But one of the things was, yeah, George Bush spoke at the opening ceremonies, who was the sitting president, and he wished the U.S. team luck on the way to victory.
Wished the country that he was leading.
Yes.
I hope that country wins the competition.
Yeah, and Bernard Gallagher, the book, said that's just something you just don't do that. So
I've been saying that 400 times today, probably.
Every time there'd be a chant or something while somebody's trying to putt, you just don't
do that.
But and yeah, I had no word on if George Bush calls himself a man of God or not. But that's another thing. We did see the man of God, Tom Lehman, last night as well. But
he runs on the green at Brooklyn. He calls himself a man of God.
How are you feeling?
I feel good.
I'm good.
I've been tooling around Rome a little bit, just getting into sort of working media mode now. You know, that my boss is Emily Ward, nice enough to let me and my wife spend a little honeymoon. We never got a honeymoon after we got married during Whistling Straits. Sorry.
Tough scheduling.
Yeah. So this was actually our honeymoon. So we got to sort of bounce around a little bit before the tournament. But I'm fully engaged now, locked in, ready to list all of the fake media controversies that we've already had so far in this Ryder Cup of how dare anyone suggest that they might be as good of a player as Rory McIlroy, or how dare anyone suggest that they might be, you know, a little more mentally sharp than the Euros. It's
you just don't do that.
Just don't do that.
How are you feeling, man?
I'm very, so we planned this a little better than we did Whistling Straits. I think we got there way too early last year. This was only spent
this is
one.
Kind of like our Rory at Augusta.
Yeah.
I'm just not even thinking about it. You know, just treating it like any other tournament.
Showed up hungover. That's what I do today.
It's always juggling. You know, he's doing crosswords. He's just not thinking about it one bit.
We went to the Ryder Cup Gala last night.
Ryder Cup's at this week. Yeah.
I think there's some photos of that if Cody has access to those, but. I spent a couple hours at the course today. I was very much okay. I'm ready to go. Okay, let's go back home. There's not much to see or do during the practice rounds, and so I've got peak energy. I'm ready to roll into tomorrow. There was a genuine buzz. That's us trying to do the Kevin James meme, which DJ did not get. The
I was like, yeah, this thing's gonna last another 2 days. I'm not doing this photo.
It's the best meme I've ever seen. I think
for a historical record, you refuse to get caught exactly. up in the moment.
Like doing this fucking Macarena.
Macarena still bangs, by the way, but I feel very, very excited. Some surprises in the opening pairings, but the buzz on the ground is just phenomenal. And I threw some major cold water all over this venue and all over this event going into it. And
will you apologize?
I will semi apologize on the front end.
Wow.
I will semi apologize.
Breaking news here,
Your Honor. The public defender will cede the rest of his time. One of the just absolute biggest courtroom victories in the history of the world with this heavyweight white shoe legal team coming back around.
You're already twisting it. So
what was your complaint up front and what changed?
A lot of complaints up front. So we played it 2 days2 days after the Italian Open. And so the goal was like, all right, I don't want to see this course in shape that's dissimilar to like a tournament. I want to see it as close to tournament shape as possible. And I was stunned that they had just played the Italian Open on this course because the rough was unlike anything I'd ever seen. There was just like nowhere for fans to stand. It was just a 5 yards off the fairway. You might lose a golf ball. We lost plenty of them 5 yards off the fairway on top of being a not very good design, well-designed golf course. Like it's just all narrow fairways, crazy undulations up to the greens with really weird runoffs, just not a lot of strategy to it. It's an execution-only golf course. So combine that with the conditioning and the rough that we saw, I was quite worried about this event. I thought it's not really worthy of holding it. They've done an incredible job with the staging, like all of the signage, all of the bleachers, all the hospitality, like all of the viewpoints. They've shaved down all of the very, very thick rough that I was like, where are people going to stand? Well, it's on top of where this thick rough used to be. It's awesome. Like it all makes sense now.
In the 90s where there was like 14 movies where the dorky girl like takes off her glasses and everyone's
yes.
like,
whoa,
she's all that. That was walking into the golf course today. It's like, what hole is this?
Shout out Jennifer Lee Cook.
Yeah. I was not familiar with your game.
Marco Simone had a glow up.
Truly.
A total glow up between May to now.
Do you think that Adrian Ronk will be able to take some solace in that? Perhaps I was not a good fit for this course.
Probably not. I doubt he sees it that way. But again, I want to be very clear. There's still some extremely stinky holes out there. That does not change. The third hole, 14, 15, I mean, 8, nine-ish. There's plenty of holes out there that are just not very good, but there's also some that are going to be really, really fun to watch, especially because of the environments. Like I've been, this is my fifth Ryder Cup. Haven't been to anything. I haven't seen a hill like we saw in 17 that's surrounding that green. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be,
there's a lot of like stadium golf aspects to it, right? But, like big, big gradual sweeping hills that are just going to be packed to the gills with people.
I mean, one of the biggest takeaways from people that go to Ryder Cups is like, dude, you can't see anything and there's no vantage points. There's not enough golf being played out there.
Maybe TPC Marco Simone.
There are vantage points out there. Yeah. 16, a ton, 17, a ton. 15 is going to have some really good viewing. I mean, there's a lot of places to watch golf. And man, it does hit different. I mean, listen, I'm a huge fan of this event, and I was adamant at Whistling Straits that this was not the atmosphere. This, going into it, I said this is the wrong place to have it.
Unbelievable photos,
yeah,
unbelievable like images. But man, when the lake is cutting off an entire half of the golf course, like that's, it's gonna kill. Like it sounds so dumb, but like that's gonna kill the audio, yes, right? Like the cheers just going around. It's like, man, they kind of are just going to drift off into this big open space.
My friend Jamie Weir said that was worth at least a touchdown for the Americans. If the Euro fans have been able to come, it's 6 or 7 more points that the Euros could have won.
They would have got within a year shot, yeah, within a field goal if that was the case.
You know, unfair advantage.
So, yeah, I think putting it back in the Euro atmosphere puts them up 2-0, right? Yeah, I forget what put them up 1-0.
Well, that and that press conference that Shane Ryan referenced in our last pod. I mean, that's a point.
That's 3-0.
So I think this has got to be at least 2 or 3. Yeah.
Europe's up a bunch. I'm sure by the time we finish this pod, they'll have dropped another banger video. Mm-hmm. That'll put them up another point. But I don't know. The European fans are so freaking good at just like welcoming their players to the range and getting them excited, get a big smile out of them. And the first tee atmosphere today for the European team was awesome.
For the freaking
practice round,
like junior Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is like pretty electric. Yeah.
Here's my take on the Junior Ryder Cup. Those kids I'm all for it, but they should have to face hard questions from the media afterwards. Like we should get to grill their
ass. They should have to go in the trap draw with Trot.
Listen, I saw some TikToks that you posted about your captain being sort of an incompetent, having no plan, you know. So could you just comment on
why did you choose that song for that TikTok?
It's really disappointing.
So again, I will apologize for not giving Marco Simone enough time, or I guess judging it too early,
That's big of you.
Right.
That's all we ask.
The rough is still a factor. It's still like weird, not really golf grass, and the ball's still gonna bury in it. It's not like typical I don't know, like northern bluegrass or anything you'd see in the Midwest, and it's not Bermuda. It's mostly like St. Augustine, if anybody knows what that grass is like, which is not really golf grass. So it's still weird, especially with how much there's elevation changes between the fairways and the greens, and with how narrow the fairways are. Like all that I'm still way out on, but the word on the street is that the Europeans, when they showed up for their practice round, were like, yo, this is not it. And they shaved the rough down at that point. There's some reports going around that it's graduated, unlike Le Golf National. Le Golf National was graduated rough as well. And there is still graduated rough out there. But I don't know. It's just picturing a totally different competition than what we walked off that course in May.
Because
that was a tough scene. I know you're public defender, but you're with me. That was a tough scene.
That was a tough scene. But, that we were not trying that day. We were trying the Ryder Cup.
Peak
here. I was trying to convince 12 of my peers to give the Ryder Cup a chance and give Marco Simone a chance.
You had
5 months from
surprise
now.
Evidence.
Exactly.
You didn't have to declare it in discovery. For some reason, the judge allowed it, and all of a sudden, banger.
Exactly.
The jury was like, ooh.
Dropped it in their lap. Anything else? You guys want to get into pairings? I'm sure people are excited to get into pairings, but anything else that we noted from the course that could factor in?
I was just surprised. I mean, this is my first time to it, how much it was literally in the middle of farmland, like just nothing to be said for in terms of, you know,
which also speaking to when we were in May, the roads are different. They've paved new roads out there. I mean, it was kind of like one way in, one way out. And now there's 4-lane wide roads going to and from the golf course, which is totally different. And I will say, I you're gonna hear people talk about this. And I think it is a factor. Again, this is the
shuttles.
Time is a concept here. It's like a theory, right? It's like in theory the time is 3:00,
which is great at dinner. It's great when they don't rush you.
Yeah,
they bring you more wine. Not so great when you're trying to run a golf tournament and like the shuttles were like stopped running yesterday because the driver's like, we're good.
Yeah, which is kind of sick. I think it's going to be a net positive. Yeah. But
as we get into pairings, this is going to play a role, I think, in that it's a really hilly golf course. You've heard a lot about that. But, dude, it is hot. Like, it's really hot out there in the 80s, upper 80s, going to be scheduled for every day. And when that sun hits, even right around noon, it starts getting really hot. Do you think that factors into whether or not guys are going to go 5 sessions? Again, not a professional athlete.
I think it might affect. Yep. It's certainly like a factor, but I don't think it's going to affect it. I don't see a world. Could be totally wrong, and maybe they go up big early, but I don't see a world on the European side where Hovland, Rahm, and or Rory, like those three guys, like, man, it seems like they're going to have to go five.
It seems like Zach has the opposite
approach,
though. So he's going to bank on the fact that they'll, it's like fresh tires.
Horses in the back.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend Carlos Sainz about that.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Gentlemen.
What?
Before you guys get going, first of all, KVV, I need you to talk directly in the mic or juice them on the board. We got
juiced all the way.
Tweets, everything, speaking in the mic. Second of all, to make this as fair and balanced as this show possibly can, I had to do something.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Do you have a motivational video?
I know. Is it a Team Europe video? I have a feeling I know what's about to come.
Playing what? For your country.
I have a feeling it's
he's fine. More. Hey, Mr. TC.
Oh,
Jesus.
God.
This was going so well.
We couldn't.
This is the epitome of nobody. TC, I'm entering the live show.
Cody was saying people were getting frustrated. They're getting fed up with this jingoistic thuggishness.
What happened in the opening ceremonies, TC? That was thuggish.
You don't do that.
Don't do that.
I got some notes from
in a small town.
You know, I got some notes from European family. They said they had to turn off the Tuesday podcast because it was so one-sided. We've got Solly now saying how great Marco Simone is. Listen, Solly, that was all part of the plan, my man. We're playing chess out there.
Oh no! This is what happens when we do a live TC. They just can't stand it. I don't know what's going on with.
Are we back?
There.
Are we back?
Yeah,
now?
We hear you guys. We hear
okay,
you.
Okay, all right. We tapped out. I think that was a great point. Whatever you said, Tron.
That was Forrest Gump Vietnam.
Ripping out the cables. Sorry, your European family was saying.
They were saying that they had to turn off the podcast after about 25 minutes on Tuesday because it was so one-sided. Now we've got Solly ranting and raving about how great the venue is after all he did was denigrate it for, you know, the last 3 months.
Please, the space is yours. What did we miss about Team Europe?
We really need to do more rehashing of past things said with you, TC, on Ryder Cup stuff. That's what people want to hear. Thank you for
rehashing stuff you said like 20 minutes ago, man. You know,
all right, let's move on. What are we missing about Team Europe? Please, the floor
fill
is yours.
In. Fill it in.
I think I'm so stoked. Let's talk about the matches.
Sick, man.
Let's talk about the matches, man. I mean, LD's playing chess out there. He's playing chess. Crazy.
E9.
We got
what do we got? So, TC, you're sending out Rahm and Hatton first. How do you feel about that?
I love it. It's tone setter. Big tone setter right there versus Scheffler and Burns, the buddy system. On full display right there.
They got that fast pass, the Disney fast pass to the front of the line.
Buddy system might work in Europe, though, TC.
That's true.
You can't discount the fact that the buddy system is huge in Europe.
Yeah, you think Italy's ignored the buddy system over the years? How do you think the shuttle system works?
That's like,
they have two brothers as captains. What do you expect from these people?
The shuttle, yeah, we can maybe put that behind the paywall, but the shuttles are tough. But, you know, talk about something that's just outside your control. Yeah. You know, we're rolling with it.
We have the benefit of good time zones in terms of getting back here and getting back to doing shows. But listen, no one wants to hear about our commute. But
let's talk about the Rahm Hatton matchup. I talking to some people who talked to some people, I think like the chemistry between these two is really fun in that, like, what we heard was basically, I think these guys love giggling about the other one getting really riled up, which is something that is really delightful to me. I think like Hatton throwing clubs or whatever is almost like loosening Rahm up to be like, that's pretty funny. And then Rahm does the same thing and Hatton's chuckling at him. So like, I weirdly think those two like are yes, they're super combustible, but in a way like might almost just like even each other out. I love that pairing. I think it's really fun.
Hatton made a great point of why doesn't Rahm swear in Spanish?
I know.
He can get away with it. Just absolutely dropping nuclear F-bombs. You'd think that would, you know, he would want to go in Spanish, but no.
I feel like they're both guys that vented out. right? They get it out and then they move on to the next hole. Hatton had a great presser. Yeah,
Hatton totally moves on and doesn't do it again on the very next shot at all. Like he puts it behind him and we just never
think
hear
about
it again.
If he didn't get it out though, he would explode on a rules official or a tee marker or somebody else.
You know? Which we'll leave that to Rom. Which I think
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. They balance each other out. And then on the U.S. side, Scotty and Burns, I think, was a pretty natural pairing. I think everybody kind of saw that one coming. Quietly, I don't know that, like, I should say quietly because, like, I haven't read anything. So maybe people are very well talking about this. Mm-hmm. But Scotty working with Phil Kenyon, mm-hmm, starting at the Tour Championship, I think is a really fun thing. We haven't seen him play that much golf. Like, he might have figured something out.
Well,
like,
honestly,
if he got 5% better, like, what's that worth? 5 points?
If I may say, two things you don't want to see, like on a Wednesday, the PGA Tour event, when you stroll the driving range, you don't want to see somebody grinding at 4:30 right before the tournament starts. Like that, you just cross that guy off the list. Walking around after the practice round, I saw one Scotty Scheffler working on his putting with Phil Kenyon yet again on Wednesday afternoon. I saw Sam Burns on the range. Listen, maybe not the best signs to see.
They played 9 holes today. Yeah, they're probably trying to avoid another gala or something. They're just, probably trying to stay at the golf course.
Not surprised to see this one go out first. I'm guessing Scheffler is odds. He would hit off the odds if we want his iron play on most of the par threes, and Sam Burns would be more of the putter, which I think is more of the evens in theory, but listen, Rom was incredible with Sergio in 2021. Now I think he's even upgraded the partnership. I mean, Sergio played a very good specific role in 2021, but Hatton can putt a whole hell of a lot better than Sergio can. Really tough team. I'm not surprised to see Europe kind of do some chip pushing in this kind of first session and saying, afternoon's going to get a lot more interesting, I think, for Europe. But they're trying to come out really strong. And do you have any word, TC, on what you think is going to happen with Big Shot Bob?
I don't yet. I've heard that the early returns from him out on the range, out on the course, not good. But, it could be a Caroline Hedwall situation, right? Where we truly have heart in the back, ready to rock. We just got to give him a couple more days to get ready.
So
who do we like in this match?
It's tough not to like Europe in that one.
Rom and Hatton, yeah.
I'm gonna go USA. I'm gonna go Scotty and Sam. I think Scotty's gonna ball out in a big way.
DJ, that makes me feel even better. You've been wishy-washy on your picks all week, saying one thing publicly, saying another thing privately.
No, come on, that's unfair. That's untruthful.
Kevin, first match, who are you taking?
I'm gonna take Europe.
I'm
going to take Europe. I think that
believe in something. Actually,
they're going to go down. I know. I think they're going to go down. Actually, Europe's going to go down early because they're going to come out too hot, too hyped up. Then they're going to settle in. Then over time, Rom is going to go bonkers on the back nine and win like 4 straight holes for them, and that's going to be that.
I know this is not the content anybody wants to hear, but I could absolutely see Europe winning 4-0 in the morning, and I can see US going 4-0.
Totally.
I have no fucking idea.
That's what makes it so fun, man.
That's why I'm so hyped. Exactly. Like, I did not feel like there was a ton of mystery at Whistling Straits. Yeah. There was a fair amount of mystery going into France, and if anything, I thought the US would do better than they did, obviously, and it did not, but I would be stunned by absolutely nothing. Like, absolutely nothing would surprise me at this point.
It's so weird to me still how quickly it flipped in France. Like, 3-1 first session. Everyone thinks like Europe is on tilt, and then it was like, oh fuck, this was not going the way that I thought it would in the afternoon. So
it was, if anything, that's going to happen earlier this year, where we've got the foursomes matches out in the morning this time instead of the afternoon. I think early momentum and then keep it rolling. I don't think this team is going to get too high on their own supply and get too hyped. I really don't.
I think they're like, it's interesting, right? Like, you could have put, I was thinking about it today. I mean, I think obviously the Rory Tommy group would have been the one that just would get people frothing like the most. And I think it's good to not put that one out first if you're Europe, because you put that team out and they get beat or something, that it just takes a ton of wind out of the sails.
We'll get into all the matches, but if I'm looking at the slate as a whole, I think it's pretty important for Europe to win this opening morning session, because I think if they're planning to play everyone tomorrow, I do not see a way where it does not line up very well for the U.S. to close the day.
Yeah. Are they planning on playing everyone tomorrow? Is that a thing?
I would think everybody in the U.S. plays for sure.
Honestly, I think the U.S. will definitely play everyone. I don't know about Europe, and I don't have anything to back this up, just total gut feel. it wouldn't surprise me if McIntyre didn't play until singles. Like, I know that has not happened since 99, but I feel like he's coming in playing that poorly.
It's tough.
Could very well eat my words on that, but yeah.
God, that's going to go so well if he comes out and goes like 3-0 or something.
Totally fine. If he comes out and goes 3-0 again, it shows how nothing in this event is predictable.
I think we're going to – Solly had a really good idea. TC, I know you're going to love this, but I think – maybe when we're walking around tonight, we're going to buy a fedora.
Yes.
And I think whoever's takes are the worst as a whole is going to have to wear the fedora on the
fedora
live show.
Of misery.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, TC, I don't know if you can overnight us one of yours or if we should just buy one over here, whatever you think is easier.
If the U.S. is down 6-2 going into tomorrow, I'll wear it for the whole show, right? I mean, that's mine. But TC's going to have to do the same, I think, if Europe's down 6-2.
You guys are bad guys.
All right, next match.
Second match. I don't have it in front of me. There
Max.
Oh gosh.
This is the big dog.
Max Homa and Brian Harman against Victor Hovland and Ludwig Aubert. I don't know. I've heard it for 35 different ways.
Aubert.
This is such a fantastic matchup. I think Harman, I can't wait to watch Harman play alternate shot. I think Max is a great counterbalance to him. And then you got the two Scandinavians that are here to fuck shit up, guys. It's,
talking to Max a little bit out there today, I think him and Brian had a really, really good time at the practice session. I think they played four ball. So I was a little surprised to see them go out in foursomes together. I know we were talking about Harman. Seems like he would be a really good four ball guy. I mean, I think he'd be good in both formats. I said that on the preview pod. I think he's going to ball out and play really
well. So they
might
be ready to lean on him a lot.
I think so. Well, I think that's – we said it on Tuesday, but like – I think he can hit driver everywhere. He's going to be short of all the hazards. He obviously puts the lights out. I think he's just going to be very, very steady, right? I mean, I don't think he's going to be super wayward off the tee. You know, I think as long as he's in play, he's going to be hitting first into a lot of greens. If he starts sticking it, I mean, I don't know, man. We saw it like getting out in the open field at the Open. Like he looked very, very, very comfortable.
My prediction at the end of the day tomorrow is that TC is going to be all – he's going to go all Ben Hogan and talk about how putting is unfair. Putting is not fairly valued, that, you know, should be about ball strikers, should be about driving, that it's just – it's at the disgrace how much putting is valued in the game.
No, KVV, I'm probably going to be bitching about pace of play with –
that's true. That's true.
With Max and Harman together. That's tough.
I think it's hard seeing you turn on Max like this. It's
aim point's an issue, man.
People are talking about it here.
I'm not turning over. I'm not turning on him at all. He's one of my favorite players on earth. He's my guy. I just, you know, this is a team competition.
Your whole thing was
he's coming for my legs. I'm coming for his legs.
Everybody's coming for Brooks's legs. Fans are going at his knees.
DZ, how do you think Ludwig will handle the pressure?
I don't think it's going to phase in one bit.
I wonder what he's going to say here.
I just want to get it on record.
His whole record. Like, it's not – like, there's been no semblance of any time at Wentworth, at just all these different events. There's been no semblance of him being shook at all by the bright lights. And I think Hovland's a great partner for him.
One of the things I think back on all the time is when – so we were at Barsebäck last summer doing – our tour sauce episode, and Ludwig joined us and we were having lunch afterwards, and I forget how it came up or whatever, but the quote was something like, and he's like thinking about how to phrase it. He's like, yeah, I don't know how to say it. I just don't ever get like nervous. Like, do you guys have that? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just like never anxious or like nervous. I was like, oh,
sure.
Yeah, no, same. Totally, man. That's great. I was talking to Jack Clark, who is the fiance of our young hitter, Madeline Sagstrom, who caddies for Ludwig now, which first of all was like, hey, did you like picture this? He's like, yeah, when I took the job 2 months ago, no, didn't really see this coming.
Why are you yelling at him, TC? He didn't see this coming. It's his caddy.
That's true. That's true. TC, you need to get on him about that. But he was telling me a story about when they won in Kron, and you know, they're getting to that back nine, and Tron, remind me, Ludwig birdied like 13 through 18 or something like that, or 12 through 17.
Yeah, I think he had five or six in a row, and I think he had one par down the stretch.
Whatever that hole was that they got to, like before that streak started, I was like, what? So what was the back nine like at Kron for you guys, and how were you, you know, how do you think he's going to handle it and whatever? He's like, honestly, man, he's like, we talked to each other like once, and all that we saw was like, we looked at the leaderboard, we saw that we were tied. And Jack was like, yeah, I think it's time to go. Ludwig's like, yeah, I think it's time to go too. And then he birdied the next five. He's like, that's all we said. Like, he's gonna be fine.
You know what? I'll say we'll see. Every single player who has talked a lot of shit, and not that Ludwig's talking shit, but has said, like, oh, I'm not gonna be fazed by this, has said, like, when I pulled the club back, it was heavier than I've ever felt a club in my entire life.
Yeah,
I felt like it was Roy McIlroy. Truly, like, Ludwig would be absolutely blessed to have Roy McIlroy's career at this point.
Or Blocky.
Or Windy.
Or Wyndham Clark's.
Yeah, Wyndham. And when Rory, like, pulled back his club, he said, the first time after sort of being like, I won't be fazed by this, was completely overwhelmed by the emotion of it. So
we'll see.
I just want it on the record. Ludwig said none of that. That was TC. That was not Ludwig at all. So, KVB putting accusations on Ludwig there. That was not him. That came from TC. Okay. Just want that noted.
None of this was in the context of the Ryder Cup either. It's not like he's sitting there talking shit like Wyndham Clark has been talking shit all week. Wyndham's been saying I was taken out of context and da 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 da. No, the context was pretty clear, my guy.
Wait, please.
Oh my god,
are you really gonna die on this hill? He literally was like,
you don't do that.
I have the utmost respect for Rory, would love to have his career. Oh my god, but like, I want to believe that I'm better than him. That's the full context of it. Who is actually mad about
that? I mean, who is better?
I was totally
at the US
fine
Open,
with that. TC. And then he was saying that everybody was gonna be exhausted coming off the European side and all that. So bulletin board material for us.
One European player has intimated as much already to someone else and said,
"What is Big Shot Bob played like 7 weeks in a row?
How's that working out?"
Listen, we got to put Big Shot Bob off kind of into his own category.
Here's what I do want to say about Ludwig. We were talking about it on the shuttle ride home. There's something that happens with these young guys when they come out and they don't have scar tissue and they don't have a lot. Like you see it when like a lot of these guys just like catapult up the world rankings immediately after college. And even like when they're in college, sometimes, you know, you saw it like Michael Thorbjornsson, where it's just like, yeah, I don't know, I'll just like almost win a tour of it.
Sure.
Like, is that I'm here. Like, isn't that what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah.
I think that's what I love so much about like putting Ludwig with Hovland, putting him out early, just no dancing around like, oh, he's going to have to ease into it, or he's going to have to really learn his way and, you know, look around and watch the morning session. Like, no, man, just fuck, throw him in there. I love it.
Ryder Cup is a young man's game.
Yeah.
It has been for quite some time. Rookies do way better than this than everyone like understands. The experience means almost nothing in this event. It does not translate to more success. So it's this uncharted territory for somebody that's never played a major to be teeing it up in a Ryder Cup. It's outrageous, but it's really, really hard to see how he's going to handle it. But I think it's a great pairing with Victor. Victor's got some monkeys to get off his back in terms of the Ryder Cup. He had a very poor Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. And
don't think he got a lot of
weird pairings. Yeah. I know it didn't work out great, but it's something you think about when you go into the next one.
He also, it's worth mentioning, almost became a member of the Brotherhood.
Almost.
He made an ace on the par 4 5th.
It was with his second ball,
but still, I would say a quality golf shot.
We're monitoring the situation about his membership into the Brotherhood.
Were you saying that Jay Haas was not a great pick when he was 50 years old? Is that
you're not on record about that? I never heard you say that.
I don't think he did that well. I don't think that team did that well. I might have to look that up again. Okay. But
who are we going with?
Raymond Floyd was a good pick when he was 51 years old.
Because Raymond Floyd's a badass motherfucker.
Who are we going with in this match?
I'm going with the Vibey boys. I'm going Max and Brian in this one.
I'm going to go same. Yep.
Oh, man. I'm going to go half. I think it's going to be halved.
Okay. That's fence sitting.
It
literally.
Is. It is fence sitting. I truly don't know.
Do we need to do TCs or you want to?
Guys, I'm going to shock you here.
Whoa.
I'm going to go with the half as well.
Really?
I think this is going to be the best match of the day. And I think both teams are going to come to play in this one.
Both teams play.
I'm keeping notes on these. So what I have there, DJ, it's going to be a half. TC is going to be a half. Solly, Team USA. KVV, Team USA. For match one, I had DJ, Team USA. KVV, Team Europe. Or a TC, Team Europe. And Solly was
Europe.
Team Europe. Okay. You guys ready? Match three.
Match three is Shane Lowry and Sepp Wakastraka Flame up against Richard Flower and Colin Morikawa.
First of all, Solly, it's Straka Flocka Flame.
Okay.
It's not Walker Straka for me.
Apologies.
Appreciate the fact checking. That's an important part of knowing up is fact checking.
So he's turning into a dad in front of your very eyes.
These rap guys, I can't keep up with them. They call it music.
I don't have a whole hell of a lot to say on this one, other than I feel like, TC, please, I would never want to be an unfair, jingoistic American. I don't know that people have talked about a couple things. Lowry has not been playing very good. Lowry's only played one Ryder Cup, and I think people kind of, for whatever reason, look at him as like this veteran savior of this, like, stalwart, this European stalwart. I'm like, if he plays great tomorrow, would love to see it. I think Stepp's going to play really good, but I don't know. I'm not feeling a ton of inspo from Europe on this one.
Lowry has not earned the benefit of doubt that some of the European lions have had.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And granted, I think you could say the same thing about the American side here.
I was going to say, it's not like we're talking about, you know, the guys with the two best records here, especially foursomes wise, right?
Morikawa was undefeated at Whistling Straits. So, you know, that he had a fantastic first Ryder Cup. Ricky, not so much. Ricky, one of the guys I'm worried about on the U.S. side, but going up against two guys that I would consider to be in like the 8 to 12 range from Europe, of the guys that, frankly, I'm just not that worried about. I could obviously be proven quite wrong on that, but if I was a European fan, I'd be just worried about this part. I've been weirdly invested in Straka not having a great Ryder Cup, and I might as well double down on that one at this point, but I don't love this one for Europe. I think Morikawa fits this golf course really, really, really well, and if they can get the balance right on holes and getting him hitting long iron shots, which there's going to be plenty of, I like the U.S. in this one.
I'm going to go Team Europe. I think Sepp comes out strong, carries the day. I, for whatever reason, I'm just not feeling the U.S. on this one. I don't really know what it is, but I think Sepp's going to be kind of a breakout star here. So I'm going to go. So I think that puts me 1.5, 1.5 right now.
I'm going to go flip. I'm going to say actually Sepp's a double agent. And I think that the U.S. is going to win this one.
Who said he looked like Kirby Smart's nephew?
That was Porter. That was really good. TC, what's your pick?
I'm going Lowry Straka here. I think it's going to be a 1+1=3 situation for them. I think I'm buying on Sepp, but I'm buying on Lowry, especially in foursomes play.
I think it's a good course for Ricky. If Ricky has this match, I want to know like a what's deep going dive on there? Into like yeah. what why he is time? Allergic to winning and or, yeah. or losing.
I truly, just no idea what to expect from Ricky. I don't know why that is.
Seven right. career halves, right, or eight career halves? Like in
five career halves.
Oh, five career halves. Okay. Well, that was
it's good. Wild.
Well, by me, but yeah,
it's wild how good these first like these opening four matches are. I don't think I've ever like it's just it's all gas, man.
Yeah. I think if this one, the only thing I would have improved, I guess, from a viewability standpoint. It's really weird to see JT and Spieth sit we'll this there. Format, which we'll I'm sure there. We'll get there, but I would have loved to see them in this spot instead.
Final match, Rory McIlroy against Tommy Ladd against Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay.
Nah, this match is just okay for me.
dramatic overstatement here. I think a path to victory for the U.S. would start with like if you win this match, the path to victory for the U.S. looks a lot clearer than if you don't. Like I think if Rory and Tommy go out and lose this first match,
because oh shit,
yeah,
that's an oh shit loss.
That's a tough one where yeah. it's like I don't know. There's a lot riding on that match. That's probably a little bit dramatic, but at the same time, I feel like that's a really important match for them to win.
Yeah, I love these guys in the anchor spot too. For what I was saying about like getting people really really frothed, I love like this one boiling all day and yeah. and really like fans who have been out there since 5:30 waiting in line knowing that this is the last match going off is really really fun.
TC, how will you handle it emotionally if Cantlay like just absolutely like slow blaze everything,
lays
like,
the hammer
the shit out of you and just and Xander and Patrick do what they do?
Yeah, I would. That would be tough. That would be really tough. I don't think I'd be able to come back from that one, at least for a few hours.
This is kind of a referendum on your whole thing, TC.
Yeah, this is really.
I know. This is a big, big spot for TC, guys. I'm well aware of it. Okay. You know, we've got Patrick, aka the Hammer Cantlay. TBD on if he goes hatless. He's been going hatless in all the photos, which we can talk uniforms here in a sec. But hopefully, the European fans are all over him for the slow play for. Which he's improved upon. I'll give him credit there. But basically, these two
Are you encouraging harassment from the European fans?
Absolutely.
You just don't do that, TC.
Yeah. These two malcontents, these two inseparable malcontents.
They might be hung over from the bachelor parties, though.
The best that Team Europe has to offer as far as Rory and just a glowing Tommy Fleetwood. So I'm stoked, man. And you know what? It's really, really generous and magnanimous of Tommy to share Phil Kenyon with Scotty as well. So
double eight.
You know what? I forgot he helps Tommy with his putting. I might change that first match, actually.
This is, as somebody rooting for the U.S., God, it's really hard to root for Xander and Patrick.
I know. I'm not even going to pretend to root for the U.S.
That's really tough. Those are the four matches. You want to do odds real quick for these?
No, who are you taking in this one?
Yeah, good. Who are you going to pick?
I think Xander and Cantlay get it done. I think that's that's the best U.S. has to offer.
My head's saying Xander and Cantlay, but every other inch of me is saying Rory and Tommy. I got to go with Rory and Tommy in that one.
I got to go with Xander and Cantlay. I think they have this weird, like, good energy between them for Ryder Cup shit, and I think they've figured out how to feed off each other. I think that's key.
Many people are saying that they didn't put them together in they were sitting or standing apart from one another in the team photo they posted.
I saw somebody tweeting about that. Yeah, I think it was at Tron Carter NLU.
They didn't attend the practice session. They flew over separate from the team. All sorts of very, very, very discouraging signals from these two.
It's disgusting, TC.
God, you could earn a lot of goodwill by picking Xander and Cantlay here, TC.
Yeah, what's your
pick? Can't do it. Rory and Tommy jump out to an early lead and do not relinquish it.
So what are our totals? I think I'm 2.5, 1.5 Europe right now.
I was 3-1 USA in foursomes in Europe, which I feel great.
That's kind of where I was trying to get ahead of. It's like, all right, what is this all going to add up to? Because Europe's definitely going to be leading.
I think I was 2-2. I can't remember. Maybe Cody can help fact check that.
What
do we got for odds
on these matches? In the first match, this is from courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. Scotty and Sam Burns are -110. Rahm and Hatton are -120. This is the two-way winner. You could do the three-way winners and have a tie bet in there as well. But second match, Homa and Harmon are +110. Ludvig and Hovland are -145.
Woo! Ludvig never played a major. Never played a major. That's wild.
Well-endowed Rick and Colin Morikawa are -150 against Lowry and Straka, who are +110. And then Xander and Cantlay are -105. Rory and Fleetwood -130.
That's disgusting.
There's some large.
That's thuggish jingoism from the DraftKings Sports.
Well, there's a lot. The large vig is for the large possibility of halves. Yeah, like you can do the three-way. The three-way betting would look a little bit different than that. But so favored in this are Hovland and Ludvig are favored in their match. Rahm and Hatton are barely favored. Ricky and Morikawa are favored. And then Fleetwood and Rory are favored. So 3-1 Europe if it goes.
The Sharps agree with your boy.
Yeah.
All right. Should we talk about JT and Jordan sitting? Kepka sitting? Like
Kepka, I'm not surprised.
And Wyndham Clark as well.
And JT and Jordan, I'm a bit surprised, I think. But I think it's also.
So let's break this down a little bit. So JT's going to play something tomorrow, you would think. Yep. If they sit him all day tomorrow, that's shocking. Yeah, right.
Why did you take him if you're sitting him before?
What is your guys'
Big Bob McIntyre, Caroline Headwall, things of that nature?
Just slamming limoncellos on the first tee. What's your philosophy on like the? So let's just say it's somebody who's kind of slightly out of form, right? Like JT, we don't really know. He played well in his last start. He's kind of had like 5 weeks off.
Looked great on the range today.
Looked great. some big high rights going on in the range. But
don't forget the high left
and a high left as well. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. He's working it both ways. What's your guys' philosophy? Because we talked a lot about like if in four ball, like if you're not making birdies, like you're kind of an anchor. The more I think about JT, the more I'm like, well, making birdies hasn't really been the problem, right? It's been the straight triple or double or whatever. So like I am confident in him coming out and making a bunch of birdies in four ball, but it's still weird to not see him in foursomes.
My thinking was I thought he was picked on this team to play this format with Jordan, right? I mean, because they didn't play all of their four ball matches together at Whistling Straits. They separated. Spieth and Koepka played together, JT and Cantlay played together at Whistling Straits. And Spieth and JT played both of the foursome sessions together. So and they played every match together at Quail Hollow last year. So this tells me a couple factors here. First session doesn't have to be like a message sending thing.
Also, like nobody's probably going to play five, which is the other thing to mention.
That's
right?
Where I'm at here, right? So do you not want to push your chips in with JT in the first session? You want to see how he plays in the afternoon on Friday. And then if he plays well, are you putting him in Spieth out on Saturday? Probably.
Could be a horses in the back situation.
Could be. Again, this is where the modeling and the scenario building gets really, really boring in terms of, hey, you know, whatever the odds would say of if we sit this foursomes, that means you're more likely to blah, blah, blah. And I don't know exactly what the scenario plan would be, but I am surprised a little bit by this. I kind of thought Max and Morikawa would play together based on nothing but gut, but I was a little surprised to see that pairing in there instead of JT and Spieth. I would have expected to see it.
Obviously, Zach was reading Twitter. He's just refreshing it over and over.
He was mad about the pick.
God, I gotta listen to these idiots out here who they're so right and I'm so wrong. I should sit JD and maybe I shouldn't have even brought him.
TC, I just saw he mentioned this in the car, but I can't think about how electric it would be if we have Lucas Glover walking to that first tee tomorrow.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Get Cody in here. He wanted Lucas Glover. I want
hell yeah. You're sitting the guy that you wanted to anyway.
It's a long way to go, brother. Long way to go. Lot of sessions to be played.
Tron, how are we feeling? So we've got Rose, Højgaard, Big Shot Bob, and Fitzy on the bench. You like that?
Yeah, I think that's the right thing. I think it'll be interesting to see. Oh, yeah. Well, no, like I think Rory and I think you probably send three of those four right back out for four ball. As well, like you send
pairings,
Rory and Fleetwood right back out. I think Ludwig and Vic are going right back out. Like, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic for Ludwig. I'm just seeing this come across the wire. Dylan DeCher tweeted, hard to overstate the buzz for Ludwig Åberg, or sorry, Ludwig Åberg, from someone close to Team Europe. I think it's an advantage that he hasn't really played with guys on the US side yet. I've never been so intimidated by a golfer in my life. Those guys are going to be in for a fucking shock.
Wow. Europe's five up now.
Five up.
Cause of that tweet.
I didn't really think about that. That is true. How rare do you have a guy that's just like kind of a total unknown? That's,
I mean,
phenomenal.
He's played in like, I don't know, five half up, a dozen PGA Tour events.
First
yeah. But they're all like John Deere and that's Rocket true. Mortgage. And a lot of the stuff.
All
where,
I'm saying
you know,
is
like,
yeah.
Yeah, but
all I'm saying is I think that these foursomes, like I'm cautiously optimistic for Ludwig in foursomes. I think for four ball, like I'm gonna put the house on him for four ball. You know,
I can understand why you said Rose.
Well, to be fair, you lost the house already. Yeah. I believe, right? On Barack.
Yeah, on Barack, not making.
I was sold a bill of goods there.
I don't understand why you'd sit Rose for
he seems like a foursomes.
Absolutely.
The only thing I could think is if they're really high on having him with Fitz for some reason, and that's been Fitz's whole thing, right? Is like not playing his own ball and not he's just been stuck in foursomes with kind of bad partners and has this like winless record. So I would assume we're definitely going to see him in four ball tomorrow afternoon. And maybe Rose was kind of randomly like had those guys stuck together. I don't know.
So, TC, if you think three teams from Europe go back out, then who sits all of day one for Europe? Then at least that would be Bob and
Højgaard and
Højgaard.
I think they may bring Højgaard out and play him. I could see I'm super
seems
keen
like a birdie
to see
monster, right?
Who they pair him with? I could definitely see Big Shot Bob sitting. I could even see Højgaard and Fitzpatrick or Fitzpatrick and Rose, and then maybe they sit Højgaard. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Maybe Højgaard plays one session, on Saturday.
Sit Hatton in the afternoon, maybe. Can you even do that? Like that. One thing that's interesting. I was talking to some. I mentioned this on the preview pod too, but having Rory's been this kind of like babysitter of the new guys for a lot of years, right? Like having him with Thomas Peters and having him with all these kind of like rookies. And I didn't know if we were going to see that again this year. And it's really cool to see him with like Tommy Fleetwood, who is, you know, maybe gets the second biggest cheer on the team when they're announcing names. I think that's a very different spot for Rory. And I wonder if you see someone like Rahm or someone like that. I mean, Hovland, obviously, with Aberg, but I wonder if you see Rom play with Højgaard, or you see Rom play with like one of these young guys in the afternoon. I don't know.
I'm really curious where the like what game they're playing now. I think they're past playing chess. Like there's this whole like
it's truly well, I know that we know that you know that we know.
So what are we gonna do? So I'm gonna flip up this pairing. I was surprised with what the U.S. did in four ball at Whistling Straits. So like I could see any number of things. I think listen, sitting here, if I'm even if the first session does not go great for the U.S., if you can pull JT Spieth and Brooks Koepka and Wyndham Clark, who won a major this year, off the bench for the afternoon session, like you got to be feeling pretty good. And that's where it's like, that's where I think this whole thing is going to come down to, honestly, Rom, Hovland, throw Ludvig in there, and Rory. Like those guys like have to play all really well, and they're going to have to play a lot of golf. And man, it's just, that's going to be so
and
much.
And Ludvig. The Ludvig hype might be too much for even me.
But I think they're gonna rely on him a lot. I think they're gonna play him a lot. Like right. I think yeah. he has to play really, really well. He's gonna play at least three team sessions, right? And I think Rom, Hovland, and Rory, do you try to send them all five is like the big question right now. Almost always in these things, if you are asking your top like multiple of your top guys to go five sessions, it doesn't tend to end up that well.
Yeah.
That's where where you call it thuggish jingoism, if you want, where some of my optimism for the U.S. lies. And like,
I think there's a reason literally one guy from Europe in the history of this event has ever gone 5-0.
Yeah.
We saw him passing out gelato on the range today. But
see.
I guess some of it comes down to, do you believe, I guess Luke said in his presser that all 12 are going to play first day. So some of that comes back to,
I missed that.
So, you know, it could be him playing four dimensional chess, kind of like he's already been playing four dimensional chess with you. He already spooked you on all the setup stuff and all the rough and all that. Like I've been texting with a couple guys in the Euro team room today, and they were all laughing about it. They're like, yeah, of course.
They're laughing at you, Solly. Unfortunately.
In the team room, we're laughing at Solly, huh? We got him so good.
Well, shit. I mean, they're like, of course we didn't cut the rough down and we totally messed with their heads and all that. It's, you know, you better. Oh,
they just got caught with their, like, they got caught red-handed. I mean, there's no chance the U.S. would have been able to prepare this week with this new golf course that got thrown in front of them. No chance. Like, what an incredible rope-a-dope pulled by Europe.
It would have been sick if Shane Ryan mentioned that on the preview, but a couple years ago when they really locked it, like the course has to be locked on Sunday or whatever. It would be sick if that was no longer a thing. And they're out there. You could hear the mowers out there right now, like cutting it down tonight. It would have been awesome.
Zach, we're getting reports that they're mowing. We got to get out there early. We got to figure, we got to roll some pots.
Oh man, I love this event so much. There's nothing else like it where you could sit here. We've done 18 preview podcasts, I think, for this thing. And, we could probably go several more hours tonight. But
guys, couple concerns on my end. I do want to get out in front of this. The Euro uniforms, at least the first few days, have been unadulterated ass. Awful.
I got to pass along one of my favorite lines of the day. We were talking with Kyle Porter on the Rage. I was like, what the fuck is up with all this like burnt orange? He's like, oh, that's a tribute to Sergio. Hook him, man. It's like when they had the Sevi logos on the sleeves, you know, that's they're keeping Sergio out there. They love that stupid burnt orange, TC. It's awful. Bad. Unbecoming.
Bad. I'll say, Ian Poulter tweeted sort of a good luck to the Euro Riders. The other, you know, Sergio, Westwood, no such thing that yet. So hopefully they'll step up and do the right thing.
Poulter's probably still trying to get on the team.
This might not be too late.
He's trying to line up the captaincy.
If Bob can't hit his driver, like.
I never thought about that. Do you have to have your team locked?
What do you mean?
Like, what if they just switched a team? Like,
what was the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, if they switched a player.
Remember in the Kiowa one, the guy got in the car accident.
The mite.
And they were like,
man,
oh,
in the envelope.
Yeah.
So how it works, if you get injured during and you can't play like your singles match, the other team has to put a guy. I don't forget when you do it. I don't know if that's changed over the years, but you put a man in the envelope, the mite. And that's who, like, if it was, you know, the U.S. side or Europe. If there's an injury on the other side, the 12th guy has to sit and doesn't get to play singles.
That's
so,
a disgrace. If you lost out on the chance to play because some other guy got injured, that would seem entirely unfair.
It was
all that's to say, guys, like Rasmus could be there right now. And they maybe sent Rasmus in already.
Apparently,
but like
what I'm saying, yeah. What if they just like Rasmus it up tonight?
Yeah, because like Rasmus played really well last week. And Nikolai hasn't been playing great.
Makes you think, right?
I hope you'll do the right thing, TC, if you find out about it. The honorable thing and be a big journalist and actually tell us which Højgaard is playing.
Los Højgaard.
You practice some real journalism in the Solheim Cup, so I hope we'll continue to move forward with that.
God, people are still buzzing about the Solheim Cup here too, TC.
Great job. That's a whole other way, TC. I haven't talked to you yet, but great job over there. You guys did awesome.
It's fun.
Really made us, I think, feel. My daughters were screaming, crying over the result. They were so into it. I was so proud of them for getting invested in it. And some of that was just our.
We got the W. I know. Too. You know,
people
like,
are buzzing over here. Still,
do you have an official stance on that as we go into this Ryder Cup? Oh, and if there is a tie,
Hell yeah, I've got an official stance on it. I think if the U.S. If there's a tie, the U.S. retains the cup. One team is celebrating, and one team has the cup. And I think that was, you know, Rory said it in his presser the other day. He was saying like, "Hey, I think back to Medina when we got that 14th point, we were all celebrating, we were all psyched." I think that's the retain thing is like, you got to come take it, man. So let's say the U.S. and Europe tie this week. It's and the U.S. retains the cup. They should celebrate like they won. I think I will go out on a limb and say that. So
I thought you cook up something more than that, TC. Well, I'm a little disappointed.
We'll see.
It was going to be one. You got to win two in a row.
Being on the record has never stopped.
We are so early in this thing, Sally.
TC, I agree. I've never
grinded my feet on Zach Johnson's cup.
I agree with that stance. I feel like it's like boxing. You have to take the title from someone. You can't just like
Tiger had a 3-foot putt at Medina to like have the Ryder Cup and nobody cared. Yep. Like it was already over. Like it just doesn't. I'm with you. Like I think
the betters care.
Yeah.
It was. I remember a lot of people were pissed about the betting aspect of it. But
you know, Tiger totally yipped that putt. But I think if you could entertain the theory of like if it's the tie goes to the road team. Like there's such an enormous home field advantage now. Like a tie should go to the road team regardless of who holds it. It's
I think the home fans would really that would go over on site.
But it's like, all right, you got to be able to beat the team at home. Like you got to win
a Ryder Cup riot. Like, that would be sick.
I don't know. That's a
week is early.
Guys, one more thing from the Solheim Cup. Thank you for the kind words. I do just want to say one more time. Like, I think that the ladies European Tour CEO and the leadership there, like they should
resign.
Fucking clean house. It was one of the most disgraceful, disorganized.
Like, just driving by the convenience store right now.
It was so bad, and like it was shameful. And I like. Randy and I wrote something about it. Go read that on nolayingup.com. KVV, I just read your preview piece that you just wrote that I think we're getting up right now. Awesome stuff there. Go to nolayingup.com. Plenty of writing there, but go read what we wrote about Solheim Cup. It's like a sleeping giant, and the Ladies European Tour is absolutely frittering it away. It is sad to see what they came out with in Spain. So
I love that, holding the orgs to task.
Yeah, I was gonna say people are still buzzing about the Solheim Cup. They're also still talking about the TV stuff. That was a very real feeling. It today.
It's a lot of stuff from Golf Channel people about missed golf shots that I've.
DC, we got Dottie Pepper on our side.
That could go a lot of ways going forward.
True, enemy of my enemy is my friend. Shit going on.
Everybody seems to be coming around.
So we don't know the pairings, but just, you know, let's get on the record. Where are we thinking four ball is going to go in the afternoon? Any surprises?
I don't think there's going to be a ton of surprises. I mean,
I think we might be tied at the end of tomorrow.
I think Europe wins the morning.
It might be 4-4.
I know we just did individual picks. I don't feel good about the U.S. going 3-1 in the morning on the whole.
That's a sick place to be.
I feel very good about the U.S. winning four ball, like doing very well in four ball.
Okay. I think if the U.S. is leading at the end of the first day, I know this is a Brandel type take, but I don't have any concerns then after that. I think they need to absolutely weather the initial storm. And if that's just what they've over and over and over again, they've been behind the eight ball in Europe.
If at the end of day two, if it's Europe 7, US 9, I would still feel good about being in that spot. Mm-hmm. Like that's the line of like with the way singles I think would potentially shake out, that would still feel okay. Worse than that would be a pretty big disaster.
Yeah, I would just want a close one, right? I mean, I don't have as a capital J journalist, I don't really have an investment in one side or the other.
Same.
But yeah, but I just want to the last two have just been total blowouts. And so it's been like a miracle hoping for on Sunday singles. But if we can get a good one that's super intense down the stretch, oh man.
I don't see how this golf course like doesn't produce a tight one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like,
I kind of agree.
That's where Whistling Straits was. That's where Hazeltine has been. That's where Paris, you know, well, like, I mean, that all kind of makes sense after the fact.
If Ludwig like, goes 7-0, like it's true. A Bugs Bunny situation where he's true. Playing like, in multiple matches at once.
That could change things. but I feel like this golf course just is destined to produce a tight one. But who do you think sits for the U.S. in the afternoon?
Ooh.
Because if we've got, I think all four of those guys are going to play. Brooks, Wyndham, who else we missing? Jordan and Justin.
Harmon and Max sit, I think.
I think Max
is going to
play.
Max is going to play.
Play and play. Okay.
I think
Harmon will sit. I think Fowler will sit. I think Burns will sit. And I think
Scotty back out was
totally off the cuff.
But I could see Scotty sitting in the afternoon if no one's playing five.
Yeah. I get down with that.
I would think they're going to go Scotty the big days of golf on Friday and then sit the afternoon session maybe on Saturday.
What if you lose it? You're sitting Scotty?
No. Well, on Saturday, you mean?
Yeah.
We'll see how he plays.
What if Scotty just balls out?
I know.
Like, Scotty's the most talented player.
That's more likely
in the world,
than him laying an egg.
The narrative around him has gotten.
And that's where TC's going to have to apologize for inventing him.
People like, despite the bad putter, he's still been the best player by far.
That's like, what I'm saying.
And I don't know if it's going to turn around, but he's that good of a ball striker. He really is.
Yeah, I think Scotty should be a predator, especially in four ball. I'm kind of in this weird thing where I think it's almost switched a little bit where I could see Europe being really good in four ball and I could see the U.S. kind of being stronger than they have been historically in the foursomes.
Interesting.
I think there's something weird about, I know this is all, you know, talk radio, who wants it more type of shit, but if you've got all this, like, it, you know, it's been 30 years, right? Like, you know what you guys are trying to do. You know how hard it's going to be, right? You know how no U.S. team ever does this. If they, this is kind of what we're saying in the preview too, of like playing foursomes in the morning. If Europe comes out and like takes a 3-1 lead or something like that, how do you not go out in four ball and just feel like you are like, all right, fucking foot on the gas. Everybody has to press. Every putt has to go in. How do you not like press too hard to try to make birdies?
Yeah. Again, I think the four ball, almost no matter what happens, the four ball lineup is going to shake out better for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a format they've been more comfortable in Europe, and it's, four at the end of halfway through tomorrow, 4 of 28 points will be decided. Like it's not press time. It's still one shot at a time. It's still these guys have a process. Like these guys still have a approach to this thing that I don't think is going to get decided in the first session.
Will Brexit be a factor?
You look at Brexit.
You look at Brexit.
That was Paul McGinley.
Those guys are talking a lot on camera. I got it.
There might be too much.
If we had to talk that much, I think we'd
too much
air
time to fill.
There.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, can we talk about the Junior Ryder Cup and how badly the U.S. got their asses kicked?
Way beat down.
KBV was saying that before you jumped on, that those kids should have to answer some tough questions.
They should get a chance to knife their captain, Corey Pavin. We were walking by some people today, and we heard that they were like, every time they see Corey Pavin, they're like, oh, is this rain gear? Like, is it permeable? I'm not sure.
The U.S. pants today, TC, I didn't hear you mention this yet, but the U.S. pants were a disgrace. With what? Like the like long pants, but they have like the like silk screened print on them. Like, get that. They look like rain pants.
I was going to say, no, I don't even think they look like rain pants. They look like sweatpants.
Get them out of here. You don't do that.
U.S. does some bad stuff. I was totally fine with today.
I like the shorts better.
How long has the Junior Ryder Cup been around? And like, we certainly haven't.
27.
Yeah.
If you ask TC, since 2023, but the U.S. has won like the last 25 of these. But
we haven't had anybody play in the Junior Ryder Cup who played later in the Ryder Cup, have we?
Yeah.
KBV, the Junior Ryder Cup.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. The Junior Ryder Cup's been around since 97.
Okay.
U.S. has won the last six of them. And before that, Europe won the previous four. So
okay. A lot of parity.
Now, guys, I will say, like, did anybody expect ZJ to come out with, like, there was all sorts of stripes going on the shirts, and got two different color blues going on. The hats on both sides are some of the worst, like the most ill-fitting things I've ever seen.
Max had the rope hat that Max had was good today.
Okay.
The U.S. team photo with the stripe down the middle, but everybody's a different height, so the line did not go straight across. That was a very tough look.
Did you see the ZJ socks he was wearing today, TC? He's wearing shorts with like high striped socks. It was bad.
How about the U.S. decision to not wear socks for the gala as a tribute to like Italian summer? Like, fine if you don't have like a ridiculously ugly sock tan line, like a golfer sock tan line. But
I think the you know, you can cancel me for this take if you want. But the I think the loafers with no socks has gone
not
too
it.
Far.
Not
I'm out.
Which now, granted, that was the look for Neil's wedding.
And everybody got blistered.
I will say that was a ballsy play because I got some of the worst blisters I've ever
exactly.
had.
It's just not worth it, DC.
Yeah. Now, granted, on the European side for the gala, their tailoring on their suits was fucking horrific. So really? It was awful. Pants bunching at the ankles, all sorts of stuff there. I will say
worked with Monahan's guy.
Yeah, Monahan was like hidden in the back in that big group picture too. I think that if the U.S. loses, I think Zach Johnson should have to shave his head.
Wow.
He is a disgrace to the baldists.
If Europe loses, you got to shave your head.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got JT, Spieth, Zach, there could be others that are
don't be hair shaming people.
Obvious hair plugs. I'm not.
Don't leave the cat out of this.
I'm proud of my.
Not everyone has to follow your route. They've chosen a different route. Okay.
You know, Brian Urlacher is probably an assistant captain. Do you think Cat is wired in on like a headset?
For sure. I think he's running North American comms.
I would love to see the Cat's comm setup, like a whole control room and stuff, like Batman's control room in the Dark Knight
in front of 14 TVs.
He's got an Oculus on.
Stevie, Strick, they're cutting the grass down on 14.
I told those guys to wear socks.
You're gonna get blistered.
Jesus. Okay.
Things are falling apart here.
That's going to make the recap pod in 2045 when we look back at the 2023 Ryder Cup.
This is when things turned.
When the mic stand fell. Anything else we got to get to? European
give,
team.
Give me a good prediction. Just a hot.
I think we just predicted everything.
Like a good scorching one, though. Like, what are we going to see? Who's going to, you know.
5.5, 2.5 U.S. after day one.
Fuck yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
4.5, 3.5 Europe.
I said
way
four,
better prediction.
I said 4-4 on the score already. I'm trying to think of something toasty. God, who's gonna lay an egg? Someone's gonna lay an egg tomorrow.
Phil
might lay an egg.
a question: when does like the moment happen where I have the inevitable?
That's kind of what I'm trying to get at.
I forgot about this.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm trying to get at.
Is it like 7:58 a.m.? Like, has it happened before 9 a.m.?
I'm gonna say my hot take will be, I think Lowry and Straka, I think it could be decisive. I think it's going to be like 4-3.
Wow.
Okay. Win or lose.
win.
Will any LIV players act out to get starved for attention a little bit, want to sort of turn it back themselves?
Not on Friday.
Okay.
Maybe Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
TC, you think we're going to see climate protesters?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm trying to think of, like, kind of already said them. I think Harman's going to have a good week. I think Sepp's going to have a good week. I think Ludvig goes like it wins at least 3 points, if not 3.5.
Tomorrow?
I thought you were going to say at least 5.
No, I think Ludvig probably sits Saturday morning, but plays both 4 ball sessions and then, you know, obviously playing with Vic in that one. And then I'm super keen to see what happens with Rahm. Rahm's been kind of up and down lately. Yeah. I think Rahm's a key linchpin for these, yep. Mm-hmm. For these Euro sessions.
Europe goes the way of Rahm, I think. Yeah. I think you're right.
But on the flip side, I think this is a huge opportunity for Matt Fitzpatrick to prove that he's not unadulterated ass in these things. I'm bullish on him in singles, but I think it'd be massive if Fitz could get us 2 points.
They did him so dirty with just a massive braces photo up on the back of one of the grandstands. Looks like a 14-year-old kid. It's really tough.
The screen, like if you're attending tomorrow or this week, the screens out on so many of the holes are fantastic. Like, they're huge. There's gonna be awesome places to see. You know,
beanbag zones out there to just veg the fuck out and watch.
On the actual holes, if you want to get there early and get a good spot on a back nine hole, you can watch the whole thing unfold on TV. Like, it's a really freaking good setup. Way better than Paris. Paris was
God, Solly,
really tough logistically.
You are ranting and raving about the build out, the setup, all this stuff. It's got me ready to run through a wall, man. I love it.
Paris was not a good fan experience. I went as a fan to Paris. It was I had to just sit in front of a TV and watch it. I could not see any golf out there. It was not a good venue for a Ryder Cup. This is
Sounds like Spain last week.
as much as I don't love the design of the course, I said this in our preview video. Like, I don't care that much about architecture for a Ryder Cup. I want it to be a good stage for competition. I don't want to see hack out rough. I don't think that's a good for competition. I want to see, you know, it's all about creating the atmosphere. Hazeltine, not an amazing golf course by any stretch. Yeah. Perfect Ryder Cup venue, like perfect in terms of Midwest crowd, getting big groups of people in to watch a lot of golf and create a loud atmosphere was fantastic. So Whistling was not it. This is going to be it. And gosh, it's going to be fun to watch.
Shout out to the PGA of America and our partners, BMW. That's all.
Mm-hmm. BMW has been an incredible partner. They are, of course, they're electrifying the Ryder Cup this week and have provided us with
I don't have much work to do. It's already electric.
It's very electric.
What a clutch ride we had home from the course.
Oh, it was great. Fantastic. I say that because we don't really do ad reads for them, but they do so much behind the scenes to support our content.
For some reason, they just help us out.
It's amazing. Like, they bring us to these events and they're a huge partner of the Ryder Cup and they help elevate our content on many different fronts. So a huge shout out to BMW for everything this week. So
TC, last question I have for you, yay or nay, do we see Blocky this week?
I was gonna you took the words right out of my mouth.
I've heard no.
Really?
DJ Khaled will be in Boulder this weekend.
DJ Khaled, the chain smokers coming through,
which is a huge, huge W for everybody on both sides this weekend. I think Blocky shows up. Personally, I don't think he's going to be able to resist. I think Lil Blocky probably shows up too.
Maybe he stands up shop in Frisco and he leads like the watch party or something like that for Team USA.
Lil Blocky should have been in the Junior Ryder Cup with like 195 hour ball speed
for sure. That's a good point.
I think Lil Blocky's like 23 or 24.
Ludwig
casting train.
To the surprise of absolutely nobody, Italy, incredible play. Like, this is, it's, I don't know if it's like a perfect Ryder Cup venue just because logistics are a problem here, but man, is it really cool to be here. Again, the surprising part that, you know, the part that's not surprising, the food is unbelievable. It is, we've already had multiple cacio e pepes, and there might be another one tonight. We might have to run into some pizza here actually very soon, but it's so cool to see like this obviously historic city and this event blend. And I'm really, really excited for this weekend, if you can't tell. We'll be back doing live shows, of course, after every round. We're going to get back to the hotel. Again, we are at the mercy of the shuttle schedule. Cannot promise when we will be back.
Time change is very much in our favor, though.
It is.
You know, it's like it's not like people are staying up. We've got some time. We can really just do it properly. We don't need to rush.
And we'll have some writing.
I wrote a
couple pieces. Mailbag is up, and I wrote another little kind of personal essay, kind of why the Ryder Cup.
You wrote about crying.
I did.
Just gonna, I think, move some people.
Yeah, we'll see.
Solly's definitely gonna cry.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I hope so.
I don't think I'm gonna read it. Can I read it Monday? I'm already gonna be crying when the U.S. loses. Listen,
it'll just live. It'll be.
So you want to cry while he's put his clown makeup on Sunday?
I said it was gonna be different this time.
10-6 going into Sunday. He's put his uniform on.
10-6. That was Brookline. We can do it.
I've got a feeling.
We can do it.
Solly, what do you think the pins tomorrow, what do you think they're going to do with those? What should we expect from a?
They can never put them in the middle of the green if Justin Rose is on the team.
Like a pro-am, it's like a joke. An absolute joke. Someone said to me that my English accent was like a war crime. I mean, they wanted more of it. So be expecting plenty of bad English and Italian.
KBV is like old man Italian accent last night at the gala. was really, really quality. We have to think of a way to work that character in.
I have no idea on Penn's TC.
Who does it help to like really spice them up?
I couldn't tell you.
I feel like that's kind of, I don't know. I've always gone back and forth on this, right? Where it's like, you would think the stronger team on paper is rooting for harder pins, right? But then the U.S. always puts theirs right in the middle. And
I think it feels
counterintuitive, but obviously
pins
it's not.
Drives a comeback in theory. Like that's what happened at Medina. The pins were on the edge and it drove a comeback. So Hazeltine, they're like, you're not coming back. We're putting them in the middle.
I guess if it's in the middle, then it's
it dulls it down. Yeah. I guess I don't know enough about that. It gets to the granular level of like, hey, you like to fade it into pins and you're going to be hitting the approach shot on the odd holes. Like we're going to put pins on the right. I say that actually, I don't know do they have control of where they're pinning?
So I think they've already gotten the pins, like the pin sheets for like five. It's like, hey, here are the five pins for each hole for the week. I don't think that they announce it until prior to each round, though. So I think they can prepare accordingly for, you know, to see that pin throughout the week, but they don't know which round it's going to be.
And I'll say this now, and I feel differently about this even than I did last night, just having seen the course. And I don't feel like this is like a horribly tilted setup, and I don't expect that to be an excuse Sunday night. I can come up with any excuse you ask me to on Sunday night, but I'll preemptively call for, I think the U.S. should take the lead, starting Beth Page, that we should go back towards more neutral setups. Whatever setup would drive an exciting close competition. It's been 11 years since we've had one single close Ryder Cup. And like, if Europe goes and blows this one out, I don't think that's good for the Ryder Cup.
Which I think, walking around that golf course today, cutting down a lot of that rough we were bitching about, changing a lot of that stuff, I'm like, oh, this like feels like a normal golf course, man.
It feels
much more neutral than it did in May.
More I would like to see the U.S. get ahead of it, take the lead, and say we're moving the Ryder Cup away from Bethpage.
It's going to be horrific.
In 2025. Like, what an awful Ryder Cup.
Just two in a row at Adair Manor, honestly.
It's going to be indefensible. Like, save all of your takes about thuggish jingoism. Yeah. Whatever happens this week, you will have all the media like, you want out of that.
Honestly, like
the high schools
like,
play in front of no fans because their fans have misbehaved so much. Yes. Maybe we'll just have like a total.
KVV, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about like just the course and getting there and boring.
We'll get there. We'll get there in next year in that preview.
Just like take it to Liberty National, even go do that. Yeah. Guys, can I leave you with something? Some motivational quote from one of my team members this week. He says, in life and in business, there are transition phases where you need to look to new leaders. What would be great is if we can slip through that period of transition unaffected and start to look to the next generation to come through and to have that winning culture.
I thought you were doing the Justin Rose commercial.
Yeah. That is Team Rose. I couldn't tell whether he was a Morgan Stanley commercial or whether he's talking about the Ryder Cup. But that said, I think
it's like almost word for word the commercial.
Those are pressing. Like,
that's why you need to lean on people, TC.
Exactly.
And I think it's foreshadowing for what we're going to see. It's a new dawn upon us, gentlemen.
All right, we're going to go get lost in Rome a little bit in bed early because we will be on the 5 a.m. shuttle out to make it in time for the 7:25.
Might be more like a 6:15 shuttle.
7:25 opening tee shot. But look for it. Hopefully people will be getting up. Hopefully you don't get absolutely butchered with commercials in the morning. I will not apologize for that because it's probably going to happen. But
for everybody tuning in, that's 1 a.m. Eastern on the USA Network. These characters
welcome.
Are welcome. And then that's Friday. Saturday, we're going to go 1 a.m. start. And then 3 a.m., we're switching over to NBC and Peacock. And then we'll talk about final day stuff. But live show tomorrow afternoon. KVV, I just saw your new piece about weeping go up. So congratulations on that. Everybody go check it out on nolayingitup.com. And excited, boys.
Enjoyed it. I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
TC, thanks for hopping on. That was a shot of life.
We will. I'm sure see you tomorrow. If Europe has a good day, I imagine we will see you. So, looking forward to tomorrow. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll be back Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thank you to High Noon. Thank you BMW. Shout out. Cheers.
Shout out USA Network. Tony Shalhoub.
Things of that nature.